Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Okay, boys, we've got a very exciting week ahead of us. We are finishing with the halachas of Tachanun, and we're going to be learning the halachas of Simkuf Lamed Dalet, Kuf Lamed Hei, which is about Hakba. There's so much about Hakba to be discussed, and then leading into Kiyas HaTorah, which is Kuf Lamed Hei, which is a fairly long simon, longer than Kuf Lamed Vav, Kuf Lamed Zayin. Very important halachas to Kiyas HaTorah. All the halachas with regards to Kiyas HaTorah that's going to be discussed as well. Let us start with Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel, Din Baruch Hu B'Shabbos, which says as follows: Din Baruch Hu B'Shabbos V'Voy Seif Echad. B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov Einu Min Baruch Hu Acha Kaddisha Basra. On the Shulchan Aruch says that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we do not say Baruch Hu after the final Kaddish. So what does that imply? That's right. It implies that the rest of the week we do say Baruch Hu at the very end of davening. Says the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch is referring to even places that have the meaning of saying Baruch Hu on weekdays, at the very, very end of davening. Why do they say it? Why do they say Baruch Hu at the end of davening? Very good. Shem Aloi Hoyu Yechidim Vezaknez Chomu Baruch Hu. Because some people came late and they missed Baruch Hu. So we want to accommodate for the latecomers. And therefore, we're going to say Baruch Hu at the very end of davening, just to ensure they catch Baruch Hu as well. Mikol Mokoyim, nevertheless. Peshabbos v'Yom Tov, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Ein Loim Roy, we don't say Baruch Hu at the end of davening. Na'koil boin leves haknes koedim Baruch Hu, because it takes a longer time to get to Baruch Hu, and it's later. So people presumably have heard Baruch Hu. You don't have to say Baruch Hu at the end of davening. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if got Nala, Filo b'Mokim, Roy Tzeloim, Adyesh Mekoyim, Shenoagin Loim, Kaddish, V'Baruch Hu, Ach Gmar Tfila. There are places which have minhag of saying Kaddish and Baruch Hu at the very, very end of davening. She's spelled called a tzipa that everybody's davened. Mipnei Shalifom Yeshez Yechidim, because there are occasionally some individuals, Shebo Acha Baruch Hu, that have missed Baruch Hu, V'Lo Yishom Baruch Hu, they missed Baruch Hu, they didn't hear it. So they may have missed Baruch Hu and we want to accommodate for them. Now, what do you think about Mondays and Thursdays?
Mondays and Thursdays, there's Kriyas HaTorah. And so there's Baruch Hu when people get an Aliyah. And so that covers people.
Therefore, what you're saying is that in places they say Baruch Hu at the end of davening. Do you know any places that say Baruch Hu at the end of davening? Shtibo, right? Nusach Sfarad, generally do. So, do they do on Mondays and Thursdays as well or not? They don't do.
They don't say at all.
In Israel, for sure they do. Yeah. Right. Oh, very good. So it's true that the many places we have generally the minhag to say Baruch Hu at the end of davening on Mondays and Thursdays, they won't. Because, as you said, they probably heard it. They probably heard from Kiyas HaTorah, they heard the Baruch Hu already. Now that Baruch Hu, once they've heard Baruch Hu, they don't have to say Baruch Hu at the end of davening. So, right. Siman Kof Lamed Dalet Tzedi V'Urachim V'Akbaras HaTorah. Noagin L'Harbosh B'Zachnuni B'Shein V'Chamishi. The Ramah starts off and says that on Mondays and Thursdays we have increased Tachnunim and we say longer Tachanun on Mondays and Thursdays. Ve'omrim, we say V'urachum. Ve'omrim Moise B'Koil Rom, and we say it loud. V'urachum is to be said loud. V'im lo yomroim me'umot, if you didn't say it standing, oive ala takona, you are over on the takona, on the decree. Ve'nikro, and he's called Poiret Skeda. He's called a Poiret Skeda, which literally, of course, means somebody who breaches the fence. It's a Poiret Skeda. Because you have to say it standing, you have to say V'rachum standing, if you don't, you're Peretz Geder. V'chein noagim la'omro me'umot, Remo says, the meaning is to say it standing, aval omro yisub belachash, said that some people have the meaning to, yes indeed, to say it standing, but the meaning says the Remo, the meaning is to say it quietly. So again, Shulchan Aruch says, you need to say it standing, and you need to say it loud. Remo says, yes, about standing, but not about laut. And the reason why the minhag is to say more tachnunim on sheni chamishi, on Mondays and Thursdays, mishum, because shem yemei rotzen, the days of rotzen, of particular closeness to ribbono shel olam v'chelo noyagin gan ken is anos bohem, and therefore there's a minhag also to fast on those days. I don't know how many people it's I don't know how many people anymore fast on those days, but I still remember hearing from my grandmother Olei Shalom that she said that she's not such a great tzaddik is like her late mother, I think she said, either mother or grandmother, because she used to fast every Thursday. She used to fast every single Thursday. That's what my grandmother said. She used to fast every single Thursday. Can you believe that? Fast every Thursday. I don't know how would we cope. I don't know how we cope to fast every Thursday. How would we
get used to it?
You get used to it. Probably get used to it, yeah. 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 It would be easy by normal fast. So it used to be found in early halachas as well. It used to be definitely more common to fast. It used to be a normal thing. A person felt like he needs to get back to straighten himself up a little bit, you know, pull himself back to the you'd fast today. It's a shaila. If you're employed, it's not so posh that you can do that. If you feel that you're not going to perform as well, then it's a bit of a shaila. But if you're self-employed, anyway, so we find they definitely consider the Yemei Rotzon, and some people still fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Okay, so the Mishnah Bura says in Sefkot Aleph, Noagin Arbois, Sefkot Aleph, Yesh Mekoy Meshenagin Loi Makodim Vurachim Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachim in Vidui VeVidui. There are places who have the minute on the days that you say Vurachim. They also say Yud Gimel Shel Rachim. They say Vidui, yes, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkoton. Beis voim vurachum v'tikun amirosu yalidei meisen neis godel. The reason why we say dafka specifically the psukim of vurachum is because of a story. There was a great neis k'muva b'kolbo v'nitfas b'sidurim. A story which is printed in the kolbo and is printed in sidurim v'tzorach l'omre b'kavona, and the story and it needs to be said with kavona v'mitun, needs to be said slowly and with great kavona v'loy b'murutz and not rarit. Now the story that he's referring to is there's various nuschos and various slight differences what exactly happened, but certainly the underlying yesod of the story was as follows. There was three yidden who went to Golos who escaped, three zkenim it says, who escaped on a boat from Eretz Yisrael. They escaped and they ended up in it was either Spain or maybe France. That's where they ended up. And they were welcomed, but after a short time, I didn't understand exactly the details, but after a short time they got into trouble from the authorities. Going to trouble from the authority, from the person who was in charge. And eventually got sent into prison without reason. And they were sentenced to be killed. And without reason. And what happened at that point was that they said that they want to have 30 days to the tshuva. And they were given those 30 days. And after 30 days, one of them was taken. And he was meant to be brought to Sreifa. It was meant to be burnt. And he had a dream, as Zaken Echad came to dream. But the point, certainly the underlying point was that he was sent to go through the fire, like Mamshe Kipshon or Eish. And he had the Tefillah of Vurachum occurred to him the night before, maybe during, when he was Mamshe sentenced to death, or maybe the night before, the Psukim Vurachum occurred to him. It was a Gilui, and he said those Psukim with great Kavana, and as he was thrown into the fire, actually survived. Nothing happened to him. He wasn't hurt at all. And same to the second and same to the third person. They survived. They got away with absolutely no damage at all. And so from that point, it was the takana. We say the great koyach of this particular tefillah, this vurachum, the potential unbelievable koyach of this tefillah, the power of this tefillah, that even people who are mamash meant to go through the fire, but get killed in the fire, to survive through the koyach of that particular tefillah. So this is the story in various different uschos, brought down in various different uschos, but something on those lines according to all opinions. So we understand the Mishnah Berurah's words. It needs to be said with kavana over mitun v'loy b'mrutza. Somebody who doesn't say it standing, says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Shulchan Aruch, he's considered a peretz geder. Do we find anywhere else about such a strong lusach that somebody who doesn't say it standing is considered a peretz geder? Somebody who doesn't say Shemona Esra standing, is he considered a peretz geder? No. Certainly not. So we find that it's really, somebody doesn't say Shemona Esra standing. He sits standing, is he considered a peretz geder? No, he's not. Yeah.
Is it because it's, if someone doesn't say Shemona Esra standing, then it's like the Amida, then they're just an Amarian, but or a Chayta. If someone doesn't say this standing, then they're a peretz geder. It doesn't mean they're a Chayta. It's a lesser
loshen. It's a different loshen. I don't know if it's less. A peretz geddish, but the Gemara says a peretz geddish. It's a pasuk. Peretz geddish chenu nachash, a snake should bite a person. It's a peretz gedda. It's a very strong nusach actually. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah said in Zivkot and Gimel, Nikra Peretz Geder, if you don't say it standing, if you sit down during Vurachum, you are considered a Peretz Geder. Yesh Oimrim, Mishnah Berurah, Zivkot and Gimel, the Loi Mikri Peretz Geder, Elo Im Loi Omroi Klal. He said, there are opinions who say you're not considered a Peretz Geder. If you say it and you're sitting, you're not a Peretz Geder. If you don't say it at all, that's when you're considered a Peretz Geder. Havalim Omru Shaloi Ba'amid, Elo Vibichal Peretz Geder. So we've got two opinions. One, you're considered a Peretz Geder. If you're standing, it's standing. That's the way you're meant to do it. If you're saying it sitting, you're considered peretz geder, according to some opinions. And according to more lenient opinions, if you don't say it at all, only then you're considered a peretz geder. The Shulchan Aruch said you have to say it loud. The Rama said you say it quiet. What's the machloikas? If gotten hey, Mishnah Berurah, top of the page, belachash. Why? What's the argument to say it quiet? You need to say Shemana Esra quietly. Similarly, you're going to say Vurachum quietly as well. What's the reason of the former opinion? The opinion of Shulchan Aruch to say it afke loud. In order to increase kavona v'nare, v'pshote b'inyan zeh. So there's various minogim. The ones who say it loud, like the Shulchan Aruch, they say it loud in order to increase their kavona. The ones who say it quietly, it's a justified minig. That's what the Rambam says you should do. You do it quietly because, like Shemona Esra, you daven quietly. You're going to say Vurachum quietly too. Okay, we're ready to move on for safe base. Sivkot and Vav. That Sheni Chamishi is considered days of Rotzoin, Mondays and Thursdays. Yimei Rotzoin. Why is it considered Yimei Rotzoin? Mishnebu Sivkot and Vav. Shaboim Yoim. Shel Kabbalas Luchas Arachroinois. When Hashem gave us the second Luchas after 40 days, Show you may rot and it were 40 days. Hashem accepted the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. He went up again for 40 days, and the tefillahs were accepted. So it's in may rot soon. All of Moshe Rabbeinu levashonah biyom hay. He went up to ask from Hashem on a Thursday, v'yorat, and he descended. He came down biyom base on a Monday. Okay, save base. Marei pnei ksiva sefer Torah. Now we are starting. We now with. We're finished now Tachanon, and we said Kaddish. That's what we're up to, Rabbi Yisai. Say Tachanon, right now, Kaddish, and now. Marip Niksiva Sefer Torah is going to show the Ksiva Sefer Torah, the klaf, the writing of the Sefer Torah, Lo'om, to the people, Ho'im Dim Limino V'Lismoiloi. He's going to show the writing of the Sefer Torah to the people standing on his right and to his left. And he's going to return forth and back and forth. It's a mitzvah on all the men, venoshim and women, to see the writing, to bend down, to say, what's striking? Okay, we'll get to that. I want to speak about women in a minute. I want to speak about women. Yes? Yeah. I'm going to speak about bending down as well, but before we get to that point, is that the, how is that called? What is that, what is he doing? What is the Shulchan Aruch describing? What we call? Hakpa. He's considered that. Is that when we do Hakpa, Rabbi Yisai? What's missing? We've said Vurachum, we've said Kaddish, now comes Hakpa. Pardon? Psicha, alright, Psicha, and? Of course, the reading, the lining, of course. So what's going on over here? Why is he describing the Hakpa before the, laning. That's right, because Shulchan Aruch, of course, is the meaning of the Sfardim. The Sfardim, of course, to Hakba. Have you ever seen a Sfardisha? Have you joined the Sfardisha to do Hakba before? And it's what Shulchan Aruch says. Says they do Hakba before they do Leining, yeah? You've witnessed it? Says the Ramo, Ramo says, hold on a second, passing Kruka, passing Krakow, we actually do the Hakba after Leining, says the Ramo. And let's stop over here for a moment. Okay, but let's just speak about Hakba for a minute. Rabbi Yisai, what your, somebody once told me, Talmud Chacham once said, to the following statement, what you are meant to do, it's a bit of a powerful statement, what people are meant to do during Hakba, they don't, and something that has no makoy whatsoever, that's what people generally do. It's a bit of a harsh statement, but it's very true. So what you're meant to do, we don't do, and something which we're not really meant to do, that's what everybody does. Because what does Shulchan Aruch say we're meant to do?
What?
Well, that's right. There's a slight bending down. Now, you don't see many people doing this, bending down, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says again. You show the cloth to people on the right and to the left. Again, that's why when we lift the Sefer Torah, you turn around. It's not to show the empty, the lady cloth. It's not to show the back of the cloth. That's no point showing that. It's in order to enable others to see from various directions to see the ksav. That's the idea behind it. You want to show the ksav, and if you're just lifting it up towards the minion, so all they're going to see is that's no point. You're meant to be able to stand in a way, to hold in a way that they can see the writing, the klaf, the inside of the klaf. Does that make sense? Okay. Now he says, it's a mitzvah for men and women to see the ksav, velichroya, and to bend down, to do a kriya, veloyma v'zoysa toira. Trust Hashem Timima. When you see it, that's when you say v'zoysa toira. And you do a slight kriya, Rabbi Isai, that's what many people do, but many people don't do that. But what do people do? They stick out their finger. Now, I don't know. Let's do what Mishnah Berurah says. Sifkot Nches, Mare, HaMechabe Kosav Din Zeh, Kodim El Ches Kriyas HaToyer. Mishnah Berurah says, Mechabe writes this din before the Halachas of Kriyas HaToyer, Shekem Inig HaSfardim. That's the custom of the Sfardim, Lehakbiya, to lift up Kodim HaKriya, to lift the Sefer Torah before the leaning. Hayin Lekamon, Lekamon Ba'agosh, Minagin Lasak Bo HaKriya, but the Rabbi is going to tell us in a second, that our Minag is to do Hakba after the leaning. Hamakbia Sefer Torah me'al ha'teva, the makbia who lifts up the Sefer Torah me'al ha'teva le'aro islam, to show the Yidden goylo, he opens it up at shloisha dapin for three kind of dapin umakbia. He opens it up for three columns. Thank you very much. Umakbia efshad lo kat shloisha, and it's lechatchili shitak do three. But he says, then he says a very practical point. So is that how you have to open it up for three? So it's quite challenging. V'nirali, it says the Mishnah Berurah, very practical. But in the Tolid, if you kerech makbia, it depends a little bit on the strength of the person doing hakba. Sheyeh beicholto lehakbia kshei nigdeles habe. He needs to be able to do that. He needs to be physically able to do that. You know, the wider you open, obviously, the harder it is. You have to be very confident in your physical abilities to open it up three, if you can, very good. If you can't, don't attempt to do something there. Don't take chances and save a toe in your hands. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They're much lighter. Yeah. But if you're on the go once, a challenging, dodgy moment, yeah, and then after you, you know, it's true. They're much lighter. They are definitely much, much lighter. Much lighter. Yeah. Okay, Sif Cotton test tells us Pnikni Ksiva Sefer Torah, Klos Vachonim, Kshemara Sefer Torah Lom, Foymed Mizrach HaTevo, Yakiv Mizrach LeDoroim, Kmoi Shikos Sifim Kuf Chavchesin HaKoyanim. You need to go from Mizrach to Doroim. Yakiv, you should go around Mizrach from the east, LeDoroim to the south. Kmoi Shikos Sifim Kuf Chesin HaKoyanim, as we ask the Koyanim. Omrim Kaddish ad le'elo kodem etzah sefer Torah. Now he tells us about Kaddish, which you didn't say previously. You say Kaddish until le'elo, chatzah Kaddish, before etzah sefer Torah. Havol b'yem sheish by Musaf, omrim tiskabel kodem etzah sefer Torah. But if there is a day that you're going to say Musaf, you're going to say tiskabel before etzah sefer Torah, because it's going to be a tiskabel later on again. This is going to be because you need to. This couple is linked to this Shemoneh Esrei over here. Otherwise, this couple goes all the way till the end of davening. Shemitzvah v'afilu mit. Right now, Mishnah Berurah says if cotton yud shemitzvah v'afilu mit chilo yoyimet bechutz, even if you're standing outside in the corridor, mitzvah lekones lebeis haknesses, you should enter beis haknesses lirois to seek shemitzim achnisu v'atzevet her. Try to enter the shul during hotzav achnasa during. Try to go into shul. It's mitzvah to see the Torah. Bishum Borev Matas Melech. Lirois haksav to see the letters. V'toiv shiri oisyois. It's nice to see the letters. Ad shiri yochol likoisam. Try to see the letters until you can actually read it. Kikosom mekubolim. The mekubolim write. Shalidei zen nimshach oyer godla la'odom. There's a great light goes on a person if he sees the ksav. People go like this to the Sefer Torah. He's al pikabola. It's a great zach. If you go mamash and you try to see the letters, then it's if you try to see the letters, your goisa or your godoil goes on a page. If you try to see the letters during hakba. However, I doubt that. I don't know what the halacha is. If on your way you're going to step on 6 feet and 8 toes, then I'm not sure how much the godoil will go on you. But yes, if you can see the letters, it's a lachatchilah. You try to attempt to see the letters if possible at all. You only say v'zoyis ha'toyra. Rabbi said, I don't know why people do that. You only say v'zoyis ha'toyra when you see the ksav. Don't say v'zoyis ha'toyra when you're not seeing anything yet. It's only when you see the letters, when you see the ksav, not the letters. When you see the ksav, that's when you say v'zoyis ha'toyra. Rabbi Isai. I agree with you. So what is it that we're meant to do? We're meant to do v'zayis haTorah, a certain kiyah. But what is what people do? As you said, people generally do. They what do many people do? They raise a finger. Do you see anything Shulchan Aruch? Anything about that? No. Is anything in Mishnah Berurah about that? Okay. It doesn't say anywhere in any poskim about that. It's something which is very, very, very hard to find any remote source for this. It's true, one sefer does bring it, a late, trying to justify the minhag, very, very contemporary authorities, but there's no makor in the poskim. There's no makor in the poskim to do that. Yeah.
He said he searched through Kol HaTorah and couldn't find a single Makor.
Yeah.
And he reckoned it came from Avodah Zarah. But then, a few years later, I saw in the Kulmus edition of Mishpacha, they have these very scholarly articles, and someone else had done a lot of research to try and find...
He found any Makor for it?
He did find Makor. I got it probably on my shelf somewhere.
I'd be interested to see. The only theory, which is quite an obvious theory, which could be maybe... where it's coming from, is that v'zois generally, when the Torah says v'zois, it's pointing. Yeah, v'zois, rotz shef cholayam, people know that zois in the Torah always refers to pointing. We find that in Chumash and Rashi many, many times. Pardon? That's right, kazera v'kadesh, that's right, zois or zeh normally refers to pointing. So v'zois ha-Torah may be an obvious kind of thought process that goes. There is, however, in the poskim, it's not brought down also by the little finger. It's beyond me. So it's not brought down in the. It's not something which is definitely not something which is brought down in regular poskim and osikalim. So, right, but what is interesting is that it seems to be lacking. The how many people actually do a kriya during hakba? Seems to be something which is that. Now, I heard from a Choshva Yid in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, who asked once the Heilige Kloisenburg Rebbe, Zeichetzal V'Kodesh Voche. To Divrei, Yatze was the Kloisenburg Rebbe, not the current Kloisenburg Rebbe. His father, Zichron Voche, he was a Shas and Poskim on his, literally, absolutely, he was a Gewaldig Yid, the old Kloisenburg Rebbe. He was a Rav, besides being Chassid Rebbe, he was a Poskim as well. He wrote Chuvas, Divrei Yatziv. It's like all, I don't know how many volumes it is, like maybe 8 volumes or something. Divrei Yatziv. And the person told me, he was actually Usher Weiss's father, he told me that he asked once, the Divrei Yatziv, who happens to be, the Kloisenburg Rebbe, who happens to be actually his Mechutin, he asked him, why is that people don't do the Kriya as expected in Shulchan Aruch HaVeyek? Shulchan Aruch says you do the Kriya. Why don't we do that? How many people do it? Many people don't, right? Some do, some don't. But it's not that universally accepted kind of. Why don't people do it? So he gave a theory. So the Vayatsev, the Kreuzberg Rebbe, he answered on the spot and he said as follows. He said, we are not Boki, Pechaseirois Veyeseirois. We are not Bekim, we're not great experts nowadays in the Torah. We could be there's letters missing, we're not quite 100% Bekim. Could be that over the centuries, some letters were missing, we're not quite sure. Therefore, if we say Vezois HaTorah, we say Vezois HaTorah, and this is really a mistake, there's a slight mistake in there. So we're doing something wrong. We can't say Vezois HaTorah, there's mistakes in there. And it's unjustified to call it Vezois HaTorah, if really, and so we don't bend down. We don't want to Chas V'Sholem say something which is wrong. And therefore, the Halige Kreuzberg Rebbe said, therefore it's better not to do the Kriya. Rabbi Isai, what do you think about his answer? It's a very difficult answer. Absolutely, and more than that. Exactly! That's what he himself, he told me, that's he asked the Divayatsi, he closed the book himself. He said, well, that doesn't make. It's very hard to say because a second ago we made the bracha, we made the bracha on it. And if we're not Boki Bechaseros Veyeseros, we should be really concerned. How can we learn from a Sefer Torah? How can we make brachas on it? If what we don't, Kriya we don't do, because we're worried that maybe the Sefer Torah is not quite right. But, what do you mean, a bracha you are making? It's a very, very difficult answer. But the question remains, in other words, why is people not particularly bothered about this Shulchan Aruch? Not sure. Right. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, to recap what we covered today, we learned about Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't say bochu after the Kaddish Basa. At the end of that, we don't say bochu. On regular weekdays, the minhag is, says the Ramah, some places say Boch at the very end of davening. The reason is because maybe somebody came really late. It's very nice that we accommodate for latecomers. So isn't that nice? We accommodate for latecomers. If somebody comes late, we're given all the chance to say Boch at the very end of davening. However, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're not concerned. However long they slept, they'll be on time for the first Boch. Therefore, no need to say Boch at the end of davening. The Shulchan Aruch then started Kuf Lamed Dalet, tells us about Vurachum. On Sheni Chamishim, Mondays and Thursdays, we increase Tachnunim and we say Vurachum. We say it loud, says Shulchan Aruch, and we say it standing. If you don't, you are Peretz Gad Chalila. The Ramah says that we say it quietly. It's fine to say it quietly. The reason is for Kavona. The Ramah says the minig is, not the minig, but yeah, he says, there are people who have a minig to fast on Sunday, on Mondays and Thursdays, you may rotzon, because that's Moshe Rabbeinu went up Thursday and went down on a Monday. With regards to Peretz Geder, Mishneh Berurah says that there are people who said that you're not considered Peretz Geder if you don't stand, but you are considered Peretz Geder if you don't say at all. We then spoke about Hakba. First is Kaddish, depending if there's Musaf or not, as to whether it's Chatzah Kaddish or Kaddish Iskabel, as it's made Mishneh Berurah. We do Hakba because the Sfardim make Hakba prior to laning, and he shows it to the Mispalim on the right and left side, ensuring that people can see the klaf, the written side. And mitzvah on everybody to see it, mitzvah al anoshim v'noshim to see the ksav and to be koreah and to say mevzois haTorah. It's al pikabola goyse inyan to see actually the letters if possible. And we learned also that it's a goyse inyan to see the letters. Kabbalim say that nimshach or godel on a person actually seeing the letter. There is a minyan, I'm just going to mention that Noshim b'meini do so, they don't look at actually the ksav. It's not brought in Mishneh Berurah, but other persons came to mention that. The last word of the Ramah that we learned today was that the minig is that our minig, Ashkenazish minig, is to do hakpe after leining. And we'll complete Seif Beis Ramah tomorrow by Ezer Hashem Yisboach Shemoy. Good evening.